Good morning, and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's virtual Sunday service. We are also affectionately known as WOOF. My name is Howard Baldwin. I use the pronouns he and him, and it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Whoever and wherever you are at this moment on this Memorial Day weekend, we want you to know that you are welcome here, whatever your age or abilities, the color of your skin, or where you were born, whomever you love, or how you identify your gender, if you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none, or whether your heart is overflowing with gratitude and joy, or broken open with grief and pain. We are so grateful to be with you this morning, all of us local to this virtual community of conscience and compassion. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what else is happening this week, and especially to join us for our virtual coffee hour at 11:30, when we will check in with each other, share our joys and sorrows, and talk about today's service. If this is your first time with us and you don't have an order of service, but would like to know more about who we are and how we stay connected during this time of continued social distancing, don't hesitate to get in touch with our congregational administrator through our website, woof.org. As I light the chalice, the Unitarian Universalist symbol of our shared and scattered faith, let us speak together our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Let us begin with reading number 649 in our hymnal, From Generation to Generation, by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. In a house which becomes a home, one hands down and another takes up the heritage of mind and heart, laughter and tears, musing and deeds. Love, like a carefully loaded ship, crosses the gulf between the generations. Therefore, we do not neglect the ceremonies of our passage. When we wed, when we die, and when we are blessed with a child, when we depart and when we return, when we plant and when we harvest, let us bring up our children. It is not the place of some official to hand to them their heritage. If others impart to our children our knowledge and our ideals, they will lose all of us that is wordless and full of wonder. Let us build memories in our children, lest they drag out joyless lives, lest they allow treasures to be lost because they have not been given the keys. We live not by things, but by the meaning of things. It is needful to transmit the passwords from generation to generation.
Hello, everyone. It's so good to be together today. Today, I want to share with you a story of a little girl who has many names. And her father talks to her about how she got those names. And while I'm reading you this story, I want you to think about all the people who have come before you, your ancestors, your family, your chosen family, who have contributed to making you who you are today. Maybe it was a name, maybe it's attributes, maybe it's your nose. I know that these cheeks are very much a part of my family history, and they are directly through my father's family. The Isaac's cheeks, y'all got them. So think about the gifts that you have received from those who have come before on this Memorial Day. This is Alma and How She Got Her Name by Juana Martinez Neal. Alma Sofia Esperanza Jose Pura Candela had a long name. Too long, if you asked her. My name is so long, Daddy, it never fits, Alma said. Come here, he said. Let me tell you the story of your name. Then you decide if it fits. Sophia was your grandmother, he began. She loved books, poetry, jasmine flowers, and, of course, me. She's the one who taught me to read. I love books and flowers, and I love you too, Daddy. I'm Sophia. Esperanza was your great-grandmother, he continued. She hoped to travel, but never left the city where she was born. Her only son grew up to cross the seven seas, wherever her sailor son went. So did Esperanza's heart. The world is so big. I want to go see it, Daddy, you and me together. I am Esperanza. Jose was my father, Alma's daddy said. He was an artist with a big family, like many people had back then. Early each morning, he walked to the mountains and the plazas to paint everyday life. Sometimes I went along. Your grandfather taught me to see and love our people. I wake up early every day, and I draw a lot, too. This morning, I drew a kitty cat for you, Daddy. I'm Jose. Pura was your great aunt. She believed that the spirits of our ancestors are always with us, watching over us. When you were born, she tied a red string around your wrist, a charm to keep you safe. Hello, Pura. It's me, Alma. Candela was your other grandmother. She always stood up for what was right. I am Candela. You can see in this picture there are different things from all of those people, all those people who have passed down their names to Alma. I love the story of my name. Now tell me about Alma, Daddy. Where does that come from? I picked the name Alma just for you. You are the first and the only Alma. You will make your own story. Alma, Sofia, Esperanza, Jose, Pura, Candela. That's my name, and it fits me just right. I'm Alma, and I have a story to tell. So again, I invite you to think about your story. Where did you come from? How will you use today and this weekend to memorialize your own ancestors and honor those who came before?
Today's service is titled Lessons They Leave Us, and we are happy to host member Scott Winters as our speaker this Memorial Day.
Good morning. As we rest for a moment, I invite you into a spirit of prayer. Spirit of life, Help us to be present with all that is our life, both our deepest sorrows and our greatest joys, so that we can truly live, engaging fully in our own life and in our community. Spirit of community, help us to know how linked we are, how each one of our cares touches us all. Help us to ask for support when we are in need, and offer our support to others when we are able, so that we may rest in the solace of one another's love. Spirit of love, and help us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, so that we might fully embody love and resist hatred. Spirit of resistance, help us to stick up for what is right, even when we are tired or afraid. Help us to dream of the world as it should be, to act to bring that world about. Help us to find hope each day. Spirit of hope, help us through this day and each day. Help us to be present for all that is our life. For all this we pray, amen, and blessed be. Now let us take time for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as is your tradition.
Today's reading is from Kenneth W. Pfeiffer. What does death teach us about living? We know the time defines our limit, even as eternity expresses our hope. We know that life, mine and yours and ours, is the tension of time and eternity, and that death is the resolution. Our knowledge, our ignorance, our fear of death leaves us in truth with only one clear choice, to choose what we shall do and be in the limited time we have, to create ourselves within the structures of human existence, dying as we live, living as we die. What we know is that death is natural, a biological phenomenon related to the very complexity that is the source of our uniqueness as a life form. Such a complicated structure as the human being breaks down in time. That we know without doubt and without exception. The acceptance of death intensifies our awareness of life, makes each flower and bird and mountain, each artifact of life, more precious and more beautiful. Becomes a spur to us to make something lovely and meaningful of the life that is ours. To spend ourselves completely enables us to know a sense of fulfillment, a sense of having really lived, which helps us to overcome our fears of death and dying, our frustrations at life's brevity, our bewilderment at our fate. We are each unique, but we are not ultimately alone. What we do matters to ourselves, to the people in our lives, to the planet that is our home, even to the stars in their courses. The acceptance of death is grounded in the knowledge that we are connected in life and in death to each other and to every being.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of that storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of our love. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and
good morning, everyone. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him. It's a privilege to share this time together with you today. Thank you to Reverend Tracy for the invitation. I also want to thank Norm Lewis for that beautiful and powerful rendition of You'll Never Walk Alone from the theatrical production of Carousel. Like you, I've been participating in worship from home this past year, and it's a good reminder that even though we may be apart, we are not alone. I miss being at WOOF in person and look forward to the day when we can all be together again. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and this long weekend is usually a time to gather with family and friends to share in some good food and feel the start of summer. The roses are blooming and the weather's warming up. I know it may feel different again this year due to the pandemic and the need to continue to be careful for our safety and those of our loved ones. Traditionally, we also take this weekend to remember and honor our family and friends who are no longer with us. It's also a day for officially honoring the military personnel who have died performing their military duties. And it's a time to reflect on lives lived and lives loved. There are so many folks that we have lost this past year. Many of us have now been touched through the passing of someone we have known because of this pandemic. This past year has brought death so close to many of us, and we've thought more about our own death and felt more fear than we have in a long time. Saying goodbye to our loved ones and facing our own mortality are some of the hardest tasks we do as humans. Grief is an experience none of us can escape in this life. Feeling the pain of the loss of someone we love is a universal experience. Grief is something we feel both alone and together in community. No matter the variations in our religious or political beliefs, losing someone close impacts us in ways that unites us and transcends our differences. Today, as we remember and reflect on all of those who have died, may we, who are still living, seek to understand each other more deeply. May we see more clearly the precious value of all of our lives. And in this moment, I invite you to think about someone close who has died, and to offer a moment of gratitude for their life. May their love always be with you. As many of you know, I work in the field of death and dying as a hospice and hospital chaplain. It's an honor to be present and to witness intimate moments with those going through the end of life, to be received by the dying and their family and friends into their sacred space. Our hope in hospice is to create comfort and an environment of peace so that the dying can pass from this life with compassion and love. There's a sacredness to end-of-life work, and I've been deeply moved by the profound care and support that's often displayed by loved ones during the final days of someone's life. The selfless acts of care from community reminds me of the goodness of humanity and of our capacity to support each other during difficult times. Every life has value and worthy to be remembered. There is a deep and long tradition in religious and faith communities to care for the dying and their families, to help them feel held, supported, seen, and remembered. I am reminded of the CareNet team here at WOOF, and the many people who reach out to all of us, particularly when we're going through times of loss. Thank you to everyone who serves on this team and who give of their energy and heart to help us feel less alone. You are so appreciated. As a community of faith, we also honor the lived stories of those who have died and treat them as sacred. It is a means to which we express our faith, and that we are actively honoring the worth and dignity of every human being by sharing their stories. We honor the person who has died by remembering what they've left us, and we explore what they can continue to teach us. Every person's story is unique and has a special quality to it. It's not to be rushed, anticipated, or demanded. It's a gift, given with trust and with hope that their story will live on beyond their death. Forrest Church was a leading Unitarian Universalist minister, author, and theologian. His books were influential in my decision to become a Unitarian Universalist 20 years ago. You may be familiar with his books and ministry as well. The sermons he presented as senior minister of the Unitarian Church of All Souls in New York City often spoke of death. He is remembered for saying, "Death is central to my definition of religion." After he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he chose to close his life by writing the book Love and Death. And perhaps you've read his book. It was published by Beacon Press in 2008. It was a way for him to depart this life by sharing some of the life lessons he learned from his ministry with the dying. He writes, "Religion is our human response to the dual reality of being alive and having to die. There's a lot to explore in that statement. And there's something uncomfortable that can rise up in us when we talk about death. We often avoid talking about it, and in case you need an uncomfortable reminder, we're all going to go someday. Every life and every death is different, and how people die can actually teach us a lot about our values as Unitarian Universalists. Religion is a meaningful way to express our values in community and to inform how we respond to injustice and inequality. After all, love is the spirit of this faith. One of these injustices is the vast differences in how long people live in the United States. I recently read the journal article, The Association Between Income and Life Expectancy in the United States, between 2001 and 2014. It was published by JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, in 2016. Researchers published findings which included some interesting but not surprising results. Poverty in the United States is often associated with deprivation in areas we are familiar with, such as housing, employment, healthcare, and education. This study, co-authored by two MIT researchers, have shown another stark reality. Poor people live shorter lives, too. They write, "More precisely, the study shows that in the U.S., the richest live 10 to 15 years longer on average than the poorest 1%. When we think about income inequality in the United States, we know that low-income Americans can't afford to purchase the same homes, live in the same neighborhoods, or buy the same goods and services as higher-income Americans. But the fact that the poor can, on average, expect to have 10 to 15 fewer years of life really demonstrates the value of inequality we've had in the U.S. And this eye-opening gap is also growing rapidly. A study that came out this month in JAMA Network Open identifies an association between U.S. county-level income inequality and higher rates of COVID-19 infection and death. This was in the summer of 2020, just a year ago. Researchers wrote, "The COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted the vast disparities that exist in health outcomes owing to income inequality in the U.S. Targeted intervention should be focused on areas of income inequality to lessen the burden of inequality." As Unitarian Universalists, we know this, and we have a unique voice in this conversation. By working to end inequality, marching for Black lives, and working for social justice, we are not only working for equity in living, but also in how we die. That the compassion that we demonstrate through our actions can truly have an impact on how long people live. We are working to end premature deaths, unjust deaths, and violent deaths, as well as helping bring about more stories which speak to full and well-lived lives, lives that were not cut short, had more time with family, more time to love, and more air to breathe. More time to experience and enjoy the blessings of this life. It was a cold January on the icy plains of Oklahoma in 2007. I was visiting my grandmother, who was 95, and she had just broken her pelvis. I was there with her friends to help care for her. I'd never been a caregiver before, but I was ready to jump in and learn how I could best support this amazing woman whom I loved so deeply. She was born in 1911 and raised her children with my grandfather on their farm in Kansas during the Dust Bowl drought and the Great Depression. Throughout my life, she shared stories with me of all that they went through, like saving the aluminum from gum wrappers for the war effort, and selling milk from their goats when they could not raise a crop. She taught me the values of perseverance and honesty, and she also taught me a lot about grief. Over the course of her 95 years, she lost all four of her children before they were 50. Two husbands, two young grandchildren, her own folks, and her only sibling as well. She would tell me stories about our family, almost all of whom I'd never met. It brought her great joy to pass along her memories to someone she loved, cared for, and someone who listened. And I didn't just listen to her stories, I listened to how she told them, how they made her laugh, how she would cry, and how she coped with such deep loss over the years. She was my teacher and my guide to understand how to live with loss and how to use story to help her family continue to live on and be remembered. The type of death one experiences brings to their family and friends a myriad of emotions and traumas that can deeply impact one's family, one's community, and even the entire world. When death is violent and unexpected, the trauma can be passed through generations. When death is peaceful, comfortable, and anticipated, it can bring solace and balm to know their passing was softened by caring and loving hearts. How we die impacts how our loved ones grieve and heal. Our community, family, friends, and our faith are resources for healing from the death of someone close. Coming together after a death helps us to begin to tell the story of their life, either through gathering for a memorial service with close family and friends, or joining a protest movement to bring about accountability for those who were murdered unjustly. Their stories continue to inform us, continue to live in us. It's who we are. It's what continues to give their lives meaning, and it gives our lives hope. When death happens, it's transformative and brings about change, both personally and universally. We do not always know how another's death is going to shape our life, how our life will look different, how their life is going to be remembered. But we have learned through poets, philosophers, sacred texts, and through our own experience that this is one of the most life-altering events. It brings with it the depth of an ending and the power of a beginning in the same moment. Death informs us to live with new awareness, new perspectives, more gratefulness, and helps us love each other more deeply too. My grandma died early one morning, just a few weeks after my arrival. She died peacefully in hospice care, surrounded by love. Being with my grandma during this time in her life was one of the most meaningful experiences, and it changed me. It inspired me to go into hospice work myself. And it was just a year later that I found myself led back into chaplaincy, working for a hospice here in town. My grandma's life and death continues to be a source of inspiration for me as I care for folks going through the end of life. Our work in hospice is to bring equal care and love to all people, not just to the privileged, but to those who have suffered deeply with their life, those who may not be loved, the forgotten, those who never made it out of poverty, those with mental illness, those who were dying younger because of all the social and health determinants that affect the longevity of life. Every life and every story matters. Part of the story I carry about my grandma is that she helped me feel comfortable with talking about death. Stories that are now told at the cemetery where my grandmother and other relatives are buried in the small Kansas town where I grew up. On those dry and dusty plains, we place bunches of artificial flowers purchased at the local retail store into the ground. We share stories that bring laughter and tears, good memories, and of course sad ones too. It helps us make sense of their lives, work through unfinished business, and feel more peace about our relationships with them. Telling the stories of those who have died not only helps us to remember them, it helps us to become aware of the lessons they leave us. In our busy, death-denying culture, we often avoid discussing death openly. It's one of those subjects that can make people feel uncomfortable. Death is often hidden away in hospitals, long-term care facilities, or in the numbers on the news. Why don't we talk about it more? Are we fearful of what others will think if we talk about someone who has died? Is there something we can do to help ease the stigma with talking about death, when death has so much to teach us? Here at WOOF, every year, we take a Sunday in the fall to honor those from our community who have died. We remember the beauty and impact of their lives. We feel closer when we can share their lives with each other. Talking about our losses has a way of healing the heart. To speak openly of those who have died acknowledges their reality in our lives. I think there is a part of us that wants to talk about them more often, but we don't often know how, for fear of being vulnerable or being out of social context. Forest Church continues. Few of us are unafraid of death. Death is the ultimate mystery. But there is a way to counter this fear. It lies in our courage to love, our courage to risk, our courage to lose. Many people have said it in many different ways. The opposite of love is not hate. It's fear. The goal is to live in such a way that our lives will prove worth dying for. This is where love comes into the picture. The one thing that can't be taken from us, even by death, is the love we give away before we go. Like you, I'm on a lifelong journey of learning how to live my days with more awareness of how to better care for each other and our planet. For me, raising awareness about end-of-life needs, experiences, and stories of the vulnerable helps to bring life more meaning. Death can be our teacher. Working with death is a spiritual practice, and it allows us the opportunity to grow into a deeper understanding at how to live our faith by bringing about more justice and more peace into the world. In the Buddhist tradition, death is central to the Dharma teachings of impermanence and attachment. And there are many forms of meditation which aid in the acceptance of one's mortality and how to live more mindfully. These teachings have helped me to slow down, appreciate life more deeply, and feel more comfortable with my own mortality. The Dalai Lama often speaks of how meditating on death can help bring more meaning to life. This is an excerpt from one of his speeches. Death, illness, old age is part of our life. It comes. Now, better to look at death as part of our life. Sooner or later, it will come. Now, what's important is, while we are still alive, our daily life should be meaningful. Meaningful means, if possible, helping others. If not, at least restrain in harming others. That's a meaningful life. Okay. Then, when the end comes, you will not have any regret. I carried my life honestly, truthfully, more compassionately. And I've done something good for others. Then, when the end comes, you will feel happy. My friends, as we all endeavor to go deeper and explore how we can live our lives with more compassion, may we find the blessings of joy and strength to face our fears. There's much to learn from those who've left us, and much we can do to work for the worth and dignity of every life. May we help tell the stories that need to be told of those who have left us. And in the end, may your story be told too. And may it be a blessing to ease suffering and heal hearts for the care of the beloved community. May it be so. Amen.
For all that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise. For all life is a gift which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad. For needs which others serve, for services we give, for work and its rewards, for hours of rest and love, we come with praise and thanks. For all that is our life, for sorrow we must bear, for failures, pain, and loss, for each new thing we learn, for fearful hours that pass, we come with praise and thanks. For all that is our life, that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise. For all life is a gift which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad.
As we extinguish the chalice, marking the end of our time together today, let us resolve to carry within us the warm glow of its flame and all that it stands for as we make our way through the coming week and all that it brings. And may we meet again in a spirit of peace, love, compassion, and health.